What a great Monday here on the Monday Morning Joe podcast at joebucksfan.com. What a great day to be a Bucks fan. Finally, you can put your t-shirt back on. You don't have to bury your head in the sand. You don't have to wonder what the heck is going on that my team couldn't beat the Jets at home. It's a good day. It's a day we all needed for some relief. Although I know some of you out there, I have hung it up, or you're super negative, or you're not impressed at all by yesterday's victory. We're going to talk about it, and a lot of that's understandable. But what we do want first is to recognize those who make this podcast possible. That's Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. Their support on JoeBucksFan.com and here on the podcast is so great. And, what does support mean? It means they advertise with us. It means we've learned about them. They've learned about us, and we want to tell you about them. And I wouldn't send you anywhere that wasn't right. That's really the bottom line. We've always done business that way at JoeBucksFan.com. You'd be surprised who we've turned away. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised if you know us pretty well, but our sponsors and our advertisers are top notch, and we don't just take money and run. Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai model year-end closeout is here. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on all 2017 Ford vehicles, and over $8,500 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on 2017 and 2018 Hyundai models. Don't forget that every new vehicle purchase includes a nationwide lifetime warranty, plus every vehicle purchase comes with 1 year free scheduled maintenance at no extra cost to you. For the best price, service, and selection, you just can't beat Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai, where they're exceeding customer expectations every day. Head to their website, LakelandFord.com. My friend, as you know, General Manager Sean Sullivan over there. Give him a call. Tell him you're a Bucks fan. Tell him you're a stick carrier, whatever. He's going to take extra, extra, extra good care of you, and he'll probably want to talk some Bucks. But they're at 1430 West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, right off I-4. Go to the website. There's all the Black Friday savings. Most of them, anyway. A lot of the Black Friday deals are up already. More information on those next week. And at Discount Garage Doors, what can I say? 7 days a week, 24/7, they're there for you on their website, dgdoors.com. Or give them a call at 1-866-420-DOOR. You're going to get a same-day free service call, estimate, a diagnosis, everything you need. Most competitors charge for that. They're going to beat comparable estimates. They're going to be fair with you. Remember, their name is Discount Garage Doors, and they have a great selection of new doors. But this is a local company, family-owned, almost 20 years going on. They cover the entire Tampa Bay area all the way out through Orlando. It's just grown and grown because of their great service. Again, 7 days a week. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code, Joe Bucks Fan, 1-866-420-DOOR, Discount Garage Doors. Visit them at dgdoors.com. All right, so the Bucks get it done yesterday, 15-10 against the Jets. It wasn't that close. The defense shows up in a huge way. It plays consistently. It finds a pass rush. It's more aggressive. The Brent Grimes effect again kicks in. It's so great for his legs, getting those couple of weeks off with the shoulder injury. I mean, the guy was fresh. He was fast. And you have to love the aggression. You have to love Ryan Smith continuing to play better. Same thing for Javion Elliott. And there were some issues out there. But overall, the Bucks now are allowing just 15 points a game at home. 15 points a game. I don't believe in coincidences. We're not big on coincidences here at JoeBucksFan.com. The defense is coming out stronger at home. It's playing with more attitude, and it's what you want to see. I mean, if you're looking at a Dirk Cutter regime, if you don't believe it's crumbling, then you believe it's solidifying. And maybe they're finding a little bit of an identity with home defense. Look, Jameis Winston was just out there 10 days ago or so saying the team doesn't have an identity. Well, this year, the identity, if there is one, on the positive side, there are plenty on the negative side, but if there is one on the offense, on a positive side, it's good defense at home. They've been playing much better defense at home, and that continued yesterday. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but I want to take you into the locker room because I figure, hey, you know what? You're at a Joe Bucks Fan podcast. Probably the biggest thing we can do for you, hardcore Bucks fan, is to give you our insight based on what we've learned and what we can see that you can't. So I want to do that first, and I want to try to do a little bit more about that, more with that going forward, because you know what? Why not? So one thing that came up last week, we wrote about it on Joe Bucks Fan, but you've heard it for weeks, many, many weeks, really months. You've heard that DeSean Jackson is ready to implode, and he's a powder keg. and he's a ticking time bomb. And Phil Simms last week was saying that he's shocked and surprised, and good for Jackson for not exploding yet after the train wreck Bucks offense he's part of, and he's not getting his deep shots and all that. So I got some private time with DeSean Jackson yesterday. Kudos for him. What a great guy to talk to, just because he's, all the guys on the team say that he's got the ultimate swag and he's super cool and this and that. But I'm not saying I'm playing fanboy here, because he is super cool, but he's a good guy to talk to, and he's just a decent guy. And yeah, he is very cool on top of that. So it's just kind of neat. But and on the flip side of that, he's not necessarily out there with media all the time, and he's not looking for the spotlight and all this stuff. So he's just an interesting character in a lot of ways. And he's a great speaker. Those of you who watched him, maybe his early press conferences, and I remember when he was introduced to the Tampa Bay media in the spring, it was like, wow, man, this guy can talk and he's polished. Anyway, not the point. The point is, I asked DeSean Jackson, hey, DeSean, look, all these guys nationally and even some locally are talking about you, saying, hey, you know, Jackson's not getting his touches and the team is struggling. He's a powder keg ready to blow, man. He's going to lose his crap and blah, blah, blah. And I asked him, I said, why is that happening? Do these guys just not know you, or are they on the money? Or what's really going on? How can you explain this to me? But I asked DeSean Jackson, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to type this up. I'm not typing it up word for word. Just give me the answer so I can share it. And sometimes as a journalist, one with ethics, you do that, because that's how you can get guys to open up a little bit more when they're not being quoted word for word. It's a way to get some information that you're going to share, but also let them know that, hey, I'm not going to be, every word you say here is not going to be scrutinized. So that's the situation. That's why I haven't typed this up for JoeBucksFan.com in any sort of quotes, but you're getting it here on the podcast. So Jackson says to me, he says, look, man, all those guys, Phil Simms, whoever it is, all of those guys are thinking of DeSean Jackson of 5 years ago. And he said, frankly, in my life, that guy, DeSean Jackson of 5-6 years ago, just does not exist. He doesn't exist anymore. I'm 30 years old, and that guy's just gone, man. I'm just not that guy. So it's funny, and maybe they're right if this was 5 or 6 years ago. But he said, I'm just not that guy. So it's just not going to happen. They can wait all day long. It's just not happening. So we talked a little bit more about that. And I did ask him, I said, well, hey, 5 years ago, do you think you would have gone nuts with your situation here with the Bucks and lashed out? And would they have been right 5 or 6 years ago? And man, did he laugh. He laughed, and he thought about that for a while. And he said, I don't know. Maybe. And he talked about that a little bit more, about certain things that used to frustrate him that don't in years ago, not with the Bucks. He likes being here. He likes his situation. He likes being here. Sure, like any player, he's competitive and he wants to know things are going in the right direction, but I don't think you're going to get that blow up from Jackson. I've seen guys talk about themselves like that before in various ages and whatever. And that was Jackson's answer. It was very sincere. And that was pretty cool. And after that, after our chat, is when I learned that he addressed the team. Now, we saw a video of that. It's on JoeBucksFan.com with Jackson, when they were closing out, asking to talk to the team, and he gave some encouraging words saying, put your hard hat on. This victory is about a call to work harder, not about anything else. Don't get caught up in one win against the Jets. Now, I don't know if Jackson spoke more previously to the team last night. We got the video we got, but there might have been something else, and I don't know for sure. Jackson was gone. I found about this later, because Dirk Cutter, as many of you know, praised Jackson and mentioned his speech. So Lee D. Kemper and I, we're JoeBucksFan.com. We started sniffing around what Jackson was talking about, what kind of impact he was making with his team. Is this something new out of left field? Whatever. So Lee at JoeBucksFan.com, you talked to Peyton Barber, who sort of gave the gist of some stuff. But I talked to Quan Alexander alone, and I asked Quan about D-Jax and his leadership, and was this a new thing? Was this a surprising thing? What's going on there? And Quan, who's a captain and takes it very seriously, was really open. And he said that, we can use some new leaders. We don't necessarily have all our leaders, and we need more leaders. We could use some new leaders. And DeSean Jackson, everybody knows who he is, and he has everybody's attention. And Kwan said that Jackson has really been stepping up more lately, asserting himself, you know, within the team. And I asked him, I said, do you think this is just a function of Jackson being more comfortable with the guys, and what's bringing it out? And Kwan wasn't really sure. He wasn't really sure. He admitted that, hey, I don't necessarily know DeSean that well, but it feels that way, that he's just wants this to be his team and sees the need. And Kwan speculated that maybe it's because Jameis was down, and he felt that maybe DeSean Jackson felt that, hey, the team with Jameis hurting and then being out really needs more of a bigger voice, another voice. So interesting stuff. But let me get back to Kwan and what happened with Robert Ayers. If you didn't see what happened, you really didn't miss much. I'm just calling it straight. This is the very, very overblown situation just because you saw two guys yelling at each other. Ayers wasn't even standing up. It was such a big deal to Ayers that he didn't even bother to get up off the bench. I mean, come on, that's not exactly a fight that needs to be broken up. Not where I live, anyway. But it all seemed to circle around Chris Baker's pass interference call. Excuse me, roughing the passer call late in the game that led to the final touchdown and really kept the game going and alive for the Jets. I hate that call on Baker just because, you know, they're trying to protect quarterbacks' knees, and I get it, but it was not really in the spirit of that rule. It was dicey. But whatever, Baker should have known to not do that. I will say that because they're all coached on that and he's been around the league for a while. But anyway, it led to a touchdown, and it appeared Kwan came off the field, was pissed at Baker. Ayers barked at Kwan, sort of lay off our guy. We're killing it today, and, you know, we're going to win. You know, and Kwan, or maybe he said something like this game's in the bag or who knows what, and Kwan started yelling at him, and it was very visible on television. Big freaking deal. I will tell you this. In the locker room, Robert Ayers' locker is two giant steps from Kwan Alexander's. It's sort of Ayers. It's sort of like there's like a right angle there, sort of. Ayers' locker is on the end, and Kwan's is on the end. And they're, but in almost like catty corner to each other. They're right next to each other. I didn't see any sort of anything going on. And at the time after the game, I didn't even know about what had happened because I wasn't watching the TV copy, obviously. So it's not a big deal. And I think it's overblown. And you know what? If guys care that much to start screaming, there's that much passion at the end of a game against the Jets, I'll take it. Compared to the crap that we've seen the past few weeks from the Bucs, where they looked lifeless and on life support. Rounding out the defense, Lavonte David deserves all the credit that you can throw his way. The guy's playing great football, and to be doing what he's doing after a week two serious ankle injury that cost him games, that's pretty darn impressive. Pretty darn impressive. He is dialed in, he's locked in, he's comfortable in the defense. He did a little more rushing the passer yesterday, a little more blitzing, which I think makes him more aggressive in his entire game. He's got the green dot helmet on, which I think makes him more aggressive in his game as well. He's had that since Kwan Alexander went down hurt and they didn't take it away from him. He should be going to the Pro Bowl if he can keep this up. Pretty good stuff from Lavonte David. The linebacking core yesterday, the speed that they displayed, Beckwith looking sharp and getting his first career sack, and Kwan, and man, that was the best game for that linebacker core, in my opinion, and that's some dangerous stuff going forward. We've seen in this league what Carolina does with revolves around a great linebacking core. Now, maybe the Bucs can get there. I don't know. I'm optimistic today. I'm optimistic. Mike Smith's dialed it up right, and there's reason to be optimistic. And I already hear all the people out there saying, It's the Jets. It's Josh McCown. Come on, Joe. You've told us for years that Josh McCown is brutal. And you know what? You're right. Josh McCown is brutal. He's a backup quarterback in this league. However, the reality is McCown was completing 70% of his passes entering this game against a lot of different teams, good ones included. The Jets were playing some good football, inspired football. They entered the game 4-5, coming off extra rest because they played on the previous Thursday night. They're in the playoff. They were in the playoff hunt, and they were had a bye week coming up next. Great opportunity for them to win, get into the bye at 5-5, and make a run. Try to make a run, even though their schedule's real tough. But the point is that this is not a horrible team, not a team in disarray. Came into Raymond James yesterday. It's not a great team. It's not even a good team, but it was a good win against a team that was playing pretty well and a team that's put up points and a team that's run the ball, which they didn't yesterday. And you can't take it away from the Bucks. You can't go crazy with it though, because in the end, it doesn't mean very much because it's just one game, but you got to start somewhere. And I'm not going to sit here and be pessimistic. I'm not writing off all the disarray on the Bucks and the what appeared to be quitting and stuff in previous weeks, some of that and some lifeless play. But you have to be, if you're the fan, riding the roller coaster. And I'm very much a fan in addition to covering this team with a sharp eye on things and trying to keep a balanced look, a fair look as well. But you have to acknowledge what was accomplished yesterday. And it was pretty darn good. You win with a backup quarterback, you've done something. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is just that on this team, in this system. Offensively, I know, we refrained on JoeBucksFan.com yesterday and today, so far today, Monday, of writing about Doug Martin. And it's beating a dead horse already. I can already hear everybody, oh, the offensive line stinks, you're getting blown up. Baloney. They are not getting blown up on every play. Doug Martin, where he's losing 1 yard, it's where he used to gain 1 yard. Where he's gaining 7 yards, it's where he used to gain 18. He's lost so much. His vision is not any good. Somehow he's had 200, and I think we're up to 235, 240 carries between last year and this year, and he's been terrible. The collective stuff is terrible, and it's not all bad luck. That's one big ass sample size. And I just would wish the Bucks, I understand that they believe and see that Martin is the best back on their roster. They watch him in practice and they're convinced he's better than Peyton Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers. But you know what? In sports, the best player doesn't always get it done. That's not always the guy who can get it done. It's not always the right fit. And right now, for whatever reason, Doug Martin is not the right fit. He's not running confidently. Even if he is the best running back of the group skills-wise, it's not a right fit. I don't get it. But you know what? They keep going to the well. We begged and screamed for him not to come back. I think he's dragging down the whole running game. And unfortunately, Peyton Barber, he got 2 carries yesterday. I mean, that's just like an incomplete on a test. It just doesn't really count. Jaquizz Rodgers has been iced out ever since he got the game ball against the Giants. It's just it's a little bit odd, but it's going to keep going. And no, the offensive line isn't great. And Sweezy has not been an uplifting force, but it's not all bad. It is really not all bad. And you know what? They pass protected pretty well yesterday. Even go watch Donovan Smith out of the gate. The one time he was beat in the first quarter, they blitzed two men. They blitzed two men off the edge there. Or one guy rushed off the edge and there was a blitzer off the edge. And there was no pass pro help. So what do you want Donovan Smith to do? It looked like he let somebody through, but no, that wasn't the case. There were 5 guys rushing and 2 on him. And yeah, sure, he didn't block 2 guys. I haven't finished watching all the replay, scrutinizing it, and then I go into the tape. I guarantee you, and I'm going to try to find out for you, Donovan Smith's grade by the coaching staff was not bad. Yesterday, he had a bounce back game. Ryan Fitzpatrick somehow was only sacked once, and the Jets threw a lot of heat at him. I mean, that was their goal, they know that Ryan Fitzpatrick, from their own experience with him being a Jets quarterback, that Fitz implodes under pressure and makes mistakes, just like Josh McCown. I mean, he makes mistakes. He's going to do some good things well. I guess you always do good things well. He's going to do some good things, but one sack of Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday. That's another great job pass blocking by the Bucs offensive line, which is among the top third of the NFL and allowing quarterback hits and sacks. So there's a lot of positive there, but there's no mesh. You know, it's just not what it needs to be. You know, one of the things you'll actually hear talk about on the Ira Kaufman podcast tomorrow, OJ Howard, where is this guy? What's going on here? I mean, number one overall pick, this was a game to see OJ Howard. It's baffling right now. Baffling that he is not part of the mix. But you know what? Chris Godwin got his shot. And look, we were told in the offseason that, hey, this guy might be the next Roddy White. Jason Light, Bucks GM, was on Buccaneers Radio Network talking about, before yesterday's game, about how important football is to Chris Godwin and his chance to start means the world to him and that he's going to come up big. And Dirk Cutter said on his radio show Friday that he thought fans would really like what they had to see from Godwin getting his shot. And I still like that pick. The Bucs could have done other things with that pick, gotten a running back, but you know what? They needed the depth at receiver. They needed the talent infusion at receiver. They had neglected it too long, and I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to go back and rewind draft picks to fit needs that it's hard to play that game and be genuine with yourself. So you know what? I liked Godwin at the time of the pick. Lee from Joe Bucs Fan was screaming about Godwin in the third round going back to December of last year before the draft, and we got him, and I think he's a good pick. I like it. It fits this team very well, and now they got to figure out how to use him more. So where do you stand on Dirk Cutter and Jason Light and this regime? All these John Gruden rumors are flying around, and Chucky's doing his best to fan the flames. I mean, folks, if you don't realize what Gruden is doing, you're just not paying attention. Gruden Friday goes on the Rich Eisen show. Okay, now the Rich Eisen show, that's not an ESPN property. He works for NFL Network. He's a former ESPN guy. He's got a syndicated radio show. Very good show. I listen to it sometimes. It's on evenings after Rock Riley here on 1040 AM in Tampa or 1080. All right, maybe it's not on in Orlando. I don't know. But it's on here in Tampa, 1040 AM. They replay at 6 o'clock. Good show. Gets a lot of good guests, and Eisen's a great interviewer, and it's just fun. I don't know. Fits, I like it. John Gruden goes on Rich Eisen's show. What are you doing there, John Gruden? Why are you going on a non-ESPN show when most of those ESPN talents, they either are told they have to only go on ESPN shows, or they beg them, if it's not in their contract, hey, stick to our ESPN shows. Go on Mike and Mike. Go on this show, that show. Don't go elsewhere. Leave it to our properties. But no, John Gruden, no problem. I'm going on Rich Eisen's show, and I'm going to talk for minutes and minutes and minutes about returning to coaching, and I'm going to let everybody know how I'm thinking about it and how I'm, and the whole, all the process. You could find that on joebucksfan.com. I embedded the video, too. Now, if Gruden didn't want to coach or didn't want these rumors out there, he'd just say, look, man, I'm working for ESPN. You know, maybe I'll coach one day. Not much to talk about here, Rich. But no, he's fueling those flames, fanning them. He's throwing gas on the fire. And then it comes back to the Bucs. Are the Bucs going to be seduced by John Gruden? Team Glazer? Are they looking at Dirk Cutter and thinking, well, you know, is he a better coach than John Gruden? And if we can get Gruden, is that better for Jameis? Because what are the odds of Dirk turning this thing around? And then, you know what, then we're looking for a coach, and maybe we missed a window, and why don't we just do it now? And then, you know, there's three primary Glazer decision makers. Gruden can be intoxicating to think about. I think if you dive deeper into Gruden, which is one thing we're going to do on Joe Bucs Fan later this week, and I'll get into it on the podcast, and we've got some intelligence on this Gruden situation. New intelligence, Ira Kaufman. He should have written it up already, but he's playing old journalist and he's digging a little bit deeper. That's fine. Old school journalist is what I meant to say, even though Ira is very old. Gruden is an interesting fit for the Bucs, but I think when you start to dissect why he was fired and what did go wrong when he was here, I'm not sure he's the best fit for the Bucs, if you are looking for a new head coach. If, is he really the best fit? He's been out of football a long time. He hasn't coached with limited practice time and limited time to be a hard ass. And you know, with the change in the labor laws, which is a big deal. He has not been around a young quarterback and been successful with him. You know, is what happens if you bring in a John Gruden and he's clashes with Jameis? Or he intentionally clashes with Jameis. We've seen Gruden crave quarterback controversy. Look what he did with, you know, sicking Brian Greasy on fans when Jeff Garcia was playing better and jerking Garcia around and a lot of things that did go on that how do you know Gruden isn't interested in doing some of those things again? And then there's Gruden's offense, which wasn't exactly very lighting it up here in Tampa. Now, part of that is talent, but part of that also goes to scheme. And is Jameis a West Coast quarterback? What kind of offense is Jameis going to be as successful as Kirk Cousins in Washington? Is he that kind of guy? There's a lot of things to consider. And a lot big thing to consider is what kind of staff could Gruden really put together? I mean, he himself in that Rich Eisen interview talked about it's all about who your staff is and who you're able to hire. Well, we all know the history of the Bucs. Gruden walked in here to a gift-wrapped, golden situation on defense. Monty Kiffin in place, a system in place, Hall of Fame defensive players in place, multiple. He doesn't have that this time around. What's his defensive plan? There's just a lot to decide. I'm not saying he's a bad football coach. I'm not discrediting the guy, but when you really start to dig into Gruden, the guy who's been out of coaching for 9 years and who claims he loves football so much that at 45 years old, he walked away from the game. Think about that, especially you older guys listening. If you're 45 or you're 50 or you're 40, imagine walking away from something you claim you love more than anything else in the world when you could get a job in it and make $5, $6, $7 million doing it. Yet you have the nerve to claim you love it, yet you walk away from it. At 45 is basically what he did. Yeah, that would spook me. It would spook me as an owner. I'd wonder, well, where is John's heart? Is his heart really in coaching? I mean, insert anybody you know. Is the dentist's heart really in taking care of teeth if he retired at 45 and then wants to come back at 54? What about the school teacher who claims he loves kids and loves teaching, but he takes a job for the similar money working for a book publisher for 9 years. I mean, I'm not discrediting Gruden, but if you are in the Gruden camp and you're fired up, you have every right to be, but you are irresponsible if you're not thinking it through as to what Gruden would really mean for this team. So I'm just throwing that out there now. I'm not anti-Gruden, but I'm certainly not doing pom-poms here for Gruden. And I do think Dirk Cutter can turn this thing around. And I believe that he doesn't have to do too much. He just has to do what we want to see, which is a competitive, hard-nosed football team for the final 7 games this year. The fans deserve it. And that's what football is supposed to be. That's why you pay your money. And anybody out there who wants the Bucs to lose, thinks they should lose out, turn off the darn podcast, because I'm not in your corner. I don't play that way. You want to tank for a final game, sit some guys to make some sense for the draft, that's fine. I get that. But now, not now. You don't start tanking in October. You don't start tanking in September. You play to win the games. That's what sports is. If you lose the element of sports, I mean, come on. Don't ask people to pay for not trying, for strategic losing. And usually losers who then enter into strategic losing, they're not people who turn into winners to begin with. I mean, that's just life. That's just the reality of life. So enough with the losing and the tanking. You want to play young players, but the tanking and the losing, and yeah, I'm not signing up for that. Now, what I will sign up for, and I want you to sign up for, is if you're going to Atlanta to see the Bucs, come out to the fan retreat the night before the Bucs game. It's going to be, I believe, 6 o'clock. I don't have the details on Joe Bucs Fan yet, but fanretreat.com. Ira Kaufman is going to be doing a talk at the Downtown Courtyard Marriott in Atlanta, 6 o'clock. I believe there's going to be free beer, free food. We'll have the details within hours. Should be by the end of today, Monday, on JoeBucksFan.com. We had this all planned out for the season opener, and we're doing it again in Atlanta. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be some special guests. Ira knows a lot of people. I can't throw any names out there yet, but going to be some good fun. If you're going to the Bucks game in Atlanta, look for the details. Nice free event downtown on Saturday evening. You could still come and go out and or go out to a fancy dinner afterwards or wherever you're going clubbing or whatever it might be. But we're going to have a good time with Joe Bucks Fan and Fan Retreat. Of course, remember Discount Garage Doors at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai. Great sponsors of the podcast. That's dgdoors.com and lakelandautomall.com or just lakelandford.com if you're just looking for a Ford. And where do we stand now? Where do we stand here? We stand here with a fan base divided, wondering if this is a fluke, wondering if we should be thinking about a new coach. We got national media pressure pounding John Gruden. People coming from all angles saying Dirk Cutter is a dead man walking. We got Jason Light with no contract. And what a day it was for Jason Light. You know, I gave him a C-minus grade on this podcast 2 weeks ago, last week, I think it was. Doesn't matter. I gave him a C-minus grade. Well, you know what? After Sunday's game against the Jets, all of a sudden Robert Ayers doesn't look like a guy who's 32 and, you know, lifeless playing out his contract. Brent Grimes comes back. All of a sudden, he doesn't look 34 years old anymore with a shoulder injury. He's money. And all of a sudden, sacks appear. And the sack numbers look a little bit better. And the defensive line won a football game for the Bucks with guys like Darryl Tapp and Will Clark. Again, it's just one game. But all of a sudden, again, a throw in Kendall Beckwith looking great. So, and throw in Ryan Fitzpatrick succeeding as a backup. Would anybody have been surprised if Fitzpatrick just walked out there and threw three picks or was awful this season? No, of course not. But you know what? He wasn't. He's taking this seriously. He was good in Arizona. He was good enough yesterday, got the job done. He's got a victory. That's what you want from a backup quarterback. So all of a sudden, things look a little bit better for Jason Light. And the energy comes back and the attitude seems magically better. We'll see. The regime has a ways to go, has some strides it needs to make, but we'll see. And this is the drama that we play out. But you know what? I love the Bucks. I know that. I love you guys for listening. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. Feel free to subscribe. It's free. You just get an alert. Or, and even better, do both. Leave a review of the podcast. You hate it, you love it, whatever. It's fun to see, and it helps enhance the awareness of the podcast a little bit. It's just kind of neat, and I appreciate it, and I always love to hear and see feedback. So appreciate it. Monday Morning Joe, we're with you every Monday. There's more we could talk about, of course, but you know what? Let's see what happens in Miami. Let's see if the team shows up. Let's not go crazy either way. Let's see what these next 3 weeks bring, because you know what? Three consecutive weeks on the road over a Thanksgiving holiday. If the Bucks are going to mail it in, they're going to do it right now. And if that happens, see you later. We want no part of a team or a regime that is responsible for mailing it in. But that's not the case yet. Enjoy the game Sunday, and we'll see you next week.